or the Book of Psalms. Book of Psalms, Psalm 63. We'll be looking at Psalms, and we'll be turning back over into the Book of Acts. Oftentimes, it looks like in this world that that evil is winning. I mean, because there's evil on every hand. The Bible encourages us to redeem the time because the days are evil. We are definitely living in evil days. But I want to read here in Psalms some couple promises that God had given the psalmist here. And I hope these promises will be an encouragement to all of us. In Psalm 63, this is a psalm of David, according to what's known about our history. O God, thou art my God. And that's a good thing to know. That there's only one true God. There's a lot of gods, but only one and true God. And a lot of people's God is themselves, of course. And if you kind of study out people that worshipped other gods, they were truly just worshiping themselves. They make gods after their own images, the things that they desired, what they wanted, and so they worship these gods after their images. They were really worshiping themselves. Jesus said, "Know ye not that ye are gods? You are we're little gods according to the Bible, little gods, you know." Because we got free will, we got a mind, we got creative abilities, but we are not, we can't create something out of nothing. We can only create out of what God has given us. And there's nothing that we can do without, apart from Him.
Amen.
Without Him, we can do nothing. Jesus made that plain. Even the wicked, even those that despise God, without God, they can do nothing. God gives them the strength, the abilities, and the materials to do what they do. And God is not willing that they should perish. And we should not be willing that they should perish. Just because they're God's enemy today, they might be His best friends tomorrow. And Jesus said, where there's much forgiveness, there's much love. I'm not going to stop anymore, but listen to the words of this psalm. Beautiful psalm right here. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in my night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. For the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Boy, I tell you what, there's a lot of people out there in the world today whose mouth's going to be shut up in it. Man, it's just lying on every hand. I mean, people's word don't mean nothing much anymore. I hope you covet to have a good name, to be believed. You know, I have often thought about this. People who say that, and I'm not criticizing nobody. I don't mean this as critical, but as far as I'm concerned, God is only as good as His Word. As a man is only as good as his Word, so is God. If we do not have the Word of God, then how good is God? I don't understand people who are dependent upon men to keep, you know, the truths of the Bible. It's God who is good. It's God who has preserved His Word. It's God who keeps His Word. So I just say that to say, look at that promise right there. He said, this world is full of lies and men that speak lies. He said, their mouth be stopped. Those that have attacked God's Word over the years, one day their mouth will be stopped. Those who have attacked God and His nature, who have lied about God. I mean, I've heard all kinds of lies over the years about God. You know, well, if God was good, He would... Or if God... I said, who left and made you judge over God? I don't understand. He's the judge of the whole earth. Won't you let Him, you know, show you yourself? And if you want to judge somebody, I say, you don't even know yourself. You can only judge what you know about yourself. And what I know about myself, I know that I need help. I need God daily to work and help me in my life because, hey, well, I'm a mess without Him. Totally. Man, but He said, one day, those that would shoot us, those who would lie on us, those who would destroy us, and I guarantee you, there's a pile of them out there. If you take a stand for this Word right here, you're going to be hated. I mean, among religious circles, you're going to be hated. You take a stand for this book, you'll be hated. Because you know what you're doing? You're accusing them. When you take a stand for this book, you're writing an accusation against those who would say, well, this King James Bible, it's got a lot of mistakes in it. It's got a lot of errors. It's got a lot of... It's not valid for our day anymore. It's not trustworthy. Jehovah's Witnesses, you say there were 200 mistakes they knew of in this Bible. And they didn't realize the only mistake was in their leaders. Why would you trust a man over God? When I got saved, I had a King James Bible in my hand. I didn't know why I had a King James Bible. It's just what everybody carried. In my family, everybody had a King James Bible back in the day, you know. It was a rarity to see somebody that had like an RSV. Some people did. And it wasn't because they were contending against this Bible. It's just because that's something that they ended up with. Everybody I knew of when I was growing up early believed that the Bible was true. There were very few atheists around in that day. That had to be educated into people. It just wasn't, you know, I tell you why it had to be educated in people. Because there's something that God has put light in every man. A measure of faith. And they know that there's a God. Every time I've ever met anybody that said, well, I don't believe in God. I said, why are you asking me? I said, you know that there's a God just as much as I do. I said, now, you may not want to believe there's a God because you're afraid of standing before Him one day, but deep down in your soul, you know there's a God. Maybe you was like, I went through a period of time like that. I didn't want to believe in God either because I wanted to do what I wanted to do. I didn't want to hear these holy rollies coming at me, you know, telling me how I need this and I need to be that. I looked at them. I said, I don't see where you're a bit better than anybody else I know. And they weren't. But a lot of them were better off. Because they were saved. So they were a lot better off than I was. No better, but better off for sure. Their standing was a lot better than my standing with God. My standing was an enemy with God. Apart from God. Their standing was, they were right with God. They were saved. They were His children. But they weren't no better. We're all sinners. Saved by the grace of God. But here you see, he said, every one of these liars' mouths shall be stopped. Look at 64. Now let's look on the other hand. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. I'm going to tell you what, if you ain't careful, you'll be afraid of the enemy. How many of you know the devil is hunting you, looking for a chance to pull you down, to shoot you with his arrows? It might not be the devil himself, but he's got a pack of them after you, out to destroy us, out to put us down. And you know, we need to be prepared for war because the enemy is after us. You believe in this Bible and you try to be a witness to people. You try to live right before people. He's coming after you. You say, well, I ain't worried about him. I don't worry about him. I just realize it. Don't get cocky. Don't think that, buddy, I ain't worried about the devil. He can't bother me. I tell you what he can do. He can destroy your testimony. He can't take your soul, but he can slap and destroy your testimony if you ain't careful.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
There have been many a person whose testimony has been totally wiped out. Some of them so bad that they won't even get up, Brother Rick. They just quit. You ask some of them if they're saved, you know what they'll tell you? I don't know. Just saved as I am. But they don't know. They've forgotten that they were one time redeemed. Amen. Devil's got them so pushed down. You know, if you're in that condition, you ain't much good. You ain't much good for other people, you know what? Huh? You surely can't do no ministry, can you? And every one of us is meant to be ministers of God's Word to help people. Look at this. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity. Look at this. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked. There's groups out there right now, they are making plans to shut down the church. You realize that? There are groups, powerful groups, as far as in this world, that hate the church. I don't mean religion. They hate the church. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not religion, not the Methodists, not the Lutherans, not the Presbyterians. Hey, you can be just as religious as you like. The devil don't care about that. Get all the religion you want. Matter of fact, the more religious you are, the happier he is. You take a very religious man, you know who he's trusting? Trusting himself, his good works, his piety. All that junk. But the Church of Jesus Christ knows there's only one they can trust. And that's the Lord. They put their confidence in Him. They know that they know that they're no match for the workers of iniquity in this world. They know that they're no match for the devil. As God told Job, He said, lay your hand on that old serpent. Lay your hand upon it. Remember the battle. Do you think you're a match for him? No, you say, you're no match. I remember back, right if I first got saved, I heard about some church, they had a Beat the Devil Sunday. I forget who was talking about that. They used it in a sermon. They told me they had a Beat the Devil Sunday, and the devil beat the far out of them that week. Just come there and just made havoc inside the church.
God never told us to beat the devil. You better leave him alone. Hey, when he comes knocks on your door, let Jesus answer it. Amen.
So they had it hanging in effigy with a little stick. They'd come in there and give him a sock every now and then. Oh, we hate the devil. Wow. He tore things up that week, boy. They never had another Beat the Devil Sunday, I heard. Listen to what he said. Write for me and hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life. The psalmist realized he's no match against the world, the flesh, and death. Now let me ask you something. When those David went out to fight Goliath on that day, do you think physically he was a match for him? You think in his own power he took him down with that little sling he had, that rock? You think it was David that slew him? Absolutely not. Who did David say was going to kill him? Huh? He said the Lord's going to deliver you into my hand. He said the Lord's going to do it. Amen. He said I'm going to take your head off. He was prophesying. The Spirit of God was upon him. But he let that stone, God Almighty, guide it, whap, right in the back of the head. I always like that part, said he fell forward. You'd think if you got hit really hard in the front of the head, he'd have fell backwards, wouldn't you? Maybe God was standing behind when he hit him in front. God slapped him from behind. I don't know. Pow! Either way, it was God that took him out. And right here, the psalmist says, hear my voice, in my prayer, preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Help me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. How many battles have we heard where the enemy has sharpened their words against the church? Little child beaters. I remember back when he had the school over there. Man, they had it all in the news. We was a bunch of child beaters. Huh? Abusing youngins. Beating them up. No, we loved our children. We didn't want them to be a bunch of heathens like the school's full of today with no discipline. We want them to, to have respect and fear God and realize there's a consequence for doing wrong and doing wicked. But the enemy, he wets his old tongue up, boy, it's sharp. He comes along, he tries to find out everything's wrong with what you do. That's right. They call good evil and evil good. And I tell my kids, I say, you go ahead, you tell them about what daddy done to you when he tore you up back here. I said, and the state will come after you. If you want to go, you want them to come get you, just yaw your mouth. I said, because they would love to take you away from us if we're doing what's right. smart psychologist now tells you what's wrong. I can see it. I can see it in my grandchildren. Don't get me wrong. I love my grandchildren, but there's a little bit of lack of something there in it. I don't think they got switched quite enough, to be honest with you. I don't know. I never enjoyed whipping my children. I never enjoyed it. But I did not forsake my duties in disciplining them corporally if they needed them. And if I was wrong, I would apologize to them later. And I have been wrong. I've apologized to my children for that. Anyway, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? Uh-oh, like that boy when his daddy was out there in guy's garden stealing his taters. He was digging. He looked to the left, looked to the right, looked to the front, looked around back. He was stealing them taters, you know, digging them up. And his boy was there with him, putting them in the sack. He said, hey, daddy. He said, you forgot to look up. Yeah. He said, who shall see? Well, we know who sees it all. The eyes of the Lord is in every place, beholding the evil and the good. There's nothing goes by him. He don't forget either. He don't forget. We might forget. We might forget about some of the things we've done wrong, but he don't forget. I think that's the reason why David said, cleanse me from secret faults. Those things he forgot about, but God hadn't forgot about. He said, cleanse me from it. God, I did some things I know. I forgot. I did wrong. He said, cleanse me of my secret faults. They encourage themselves in the evil matter. They commune by laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. But the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. I tell you what, if you've done things in your life that's wrong, I guarantee you they'll search it out. They'll try to find it. They'll try to use it against you. Your own family, they know things that you've done that wasn't right. And they'll try to dig it up and use it against you. They're not trying to live right. Well, you... blah, blah, blah. Any of you ever heard that? Huh? Well, you.
Oh, yeah.
You, I never used to do this, and you used to do that. Oh, don't be getting on to me, what I'm doing wrong. They accomplish a diligent search, both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow in the deep one. Suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. And all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider of his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. Now, boy, we see one fellow right here. He's thirsting after God. He's desirous to do right. And he's thanking and praising God that the Lord is going to deliver him out of every hand of the wicked. And his final words then is that those that speak lies shall be stopped. He knew that there was a group out there speaking lies. And here you see a man, this man, He's against everything. He don't care nothing about God. His only desire is to destroy the work that God is carrying on in his church. That's what you see. You see one that's thirsting after and wanting and desiring God, you know, just to move and work in him. Then you see another guy, he's sitting there and he's trying to stop everything that God is doing in your life. And they're out there. They're all around us. And here's, and then notice this. And I like this. And this is where we need to take, it might look like the world is going completely toward wrong and the devil, but notice what he said here. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. I mean, it's adamant. You know, it's adamant. It's firm. Hey, it's stiffer than concrete. It's for sure. It's absolute. It's just as adamant as God is. There's nothing going to stop it. This world can rant, and every wicked person in this world that hates God, they can all join hands. They can get their armies all together like they're going to do one day, and God's going to bring them down there. Hey, down there into the valley of decision. But God said, you're going to be stopped. A lot of wickedness going on around us. Praise God, it's going to stop one day. The line's going to be stopped. The politician's mouth is going to be shut up. The warmongers are going to be shut up. The hate mongers are going to be shut up. Buddy, they're everywhere. But here's the second. And the righteous shall be glad in the Lord, and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. Starts off with a man trying to follow God, but there's a group trying to destroy him. God said, their mouth's going to be shot. It's going to be stopped. Then you got this next one over here. You got a man, he's doing everything he can to come against God and his youngest. But look how it ends. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him. And the upright in heart shall glory. Amen?
Amen.
That's just as firm as the other one. There's coming a day where we're going to rejoice and be glorified in the Lord. And, hey, the enemy's shooting at us now. Every now and then he gets a dart through. We fail. We fall. We stumble. Praise God. The Bible said you can fall 7 times. What's the Lord going to do? He'll pick you up. Amen. Knock the dust off of you. Yeah, you ever done that with a young and you get him out there and get him to doing something? He'd fall and fail and hit the ground. You pick him up, dust him off, and said, go at it, boy. Huh? I'm telling you, this is sure. Take your Bible and turn over to the book of Acts. That's what's going on over here in the book of Acts in these first couple chapters, you see. God's come on the scene. God's come on the scene through these believers. The more the enemy don't like it at all. Don't like it at all. Look here. Let's see. This takes chapter 4. Yeah, I want to start. Let's look in chapter 5. I was going to go there last week, and then preacher ended up preaching about that on the fear of the Lord, about Ananias and Sapphira. And I'm not going to get into that, but we see that because of what happened with them, The Bible said, great fear fell upon the church. Now notice this. These were two believers. These were two believers. And what did they do? They lied against the Holy Spirit. And what did God say was going to happen to those liars?
They're going to be stopped.
They're going to be stopped. He stopped them, didn't he? He wanted to stop it inside the church before it started to spread, you know? Judgment comes first at the house of the Lord, right? Huh? That's where judgment starts. But look at here. After which, and it says, then fell she down straightway, in verse 10, at his feet, and yielded to the ghost, and the young men came, found her dead, carried her forth, buried her by her husband, and great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Because of what happened with these two right here, look what happened. Multitudes more began to join the church. They said, this is real. This is God. They lied against God. God judged them, just like he did old Achan. You know, God's judgment fell upon them. This is real. Hey, we're not going to resist this. We're going to get in with this. Well, we need more people with that attitude today. That what we're doing is real. Witnessing. Taking the Word of God out beyond these doors. Out there in the workplace. Down there, I don't care where you're going. Speaking up for the Lord. Tell them what great things God has done. Let the fear of the Lord guide our hands. And great fear came upon all the church. And all these miracles and the rest and believers the more added to the Lord. Multitudes, both of men and women. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick of unto the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter might, passing by, might overshadow some of them. And there came also a multitude out of the cities, both about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them that were vexed with unclean spirits. And notice this, and they were healed every one. You remember what Jesus said, in greater things shall you do? I don't ever remember bringing out, wanting a shadow to Jesus. He dealt with them most of the time individually. But right now, God is letting the people know that he is with these apostles, and he's doing it with great signs and wonders. I know that the Jews require a sign and that's past, but I'm going to tell you, where is the power in the church today? The Holy Spirit should, he's here amongst us, and there should be power in our words to make great difference. I wonder sometimes if it's, I know a lot of people, well, it's last days, you know, nobody wants to get saved anymore. Do you really think that's the problem? No, I don't think so either. So, I think what the problem is a lack of fear in the house of the Lord. Because, you know, the fear is the beginning of what?
Knowledge,
wisdom. And it says, and by me do princes rule. And we're kings and priests under God, and we're his princes. And if we're going to rule in this world, what does it take? It takes some fear of God on us that makes a difference in us. Well, after that fear of the Lord fell upon them, all of a sudden, everybody's out telling everybody, said,
Man, I tell you what, you heard about what went down there at the house of God? Huh? I mean, God came in and judged his people down there. Two of them laying dead. But praise God, you know, he said, people are getting saved, people are being healed, people are being touched. What are we go? When we go to work and we get with our families? What are we telling them God's doing down here at the house of God? Now, I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about us. What's God doing in the house of God? Exactly what here it comes now. They're seeking God. They're hungry and thirsty for the things of God. People are being helped. People are being encouraged. And then the high priest rose up. And all that were with him, which is of the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. You know what it was? They were envious. They were envious. Out of all the people was turning to them. Turning away from them. They were envious. Why did they deliver up Jesus? Pilate said he knew why they did it. Why did Pilate say that they delivered up Jesus unto him? They were envious. Because the people was listening to him. And was no longer listening to them. And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, brought them forth, and said, go stand, speak in the temple to the people, all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they were, and that were with him, and called the council together, all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors, and when we had opened, we found no man within. And when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. And then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officer and brought them without violence. For they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked him, saying, did not we straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, intending to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. You know, we've been looking at traditions and how traditions, you know, there's a lot of people out here, they make void the word of God by their traditions. And now Peter's saying, look, we know what y'all teach, but who ought we to believe? We know what you told us to do, but who ought we to obey? That is the reason why it's so important. You take this Bible. When men stand up to teach or to preach, you take this Bible. You judge every word. I don't expect nobody to believe David Leslie. I don't believe him half the time. Promise lean not to your own understanding. All my ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. So I'm saying you need to follow in this book and ask God to show you what is truth. Because that's the only thing that matters. Jesus is the truth, and that's all that matters. The only thing that matters to these disciples is that they were doing what God told them to do. They didn't care what men thought. If we are subject to our peers, we won't care what God thinks either.
We'll just do what men think we ought to do. I think God would take us a little bit further than what men would have us to do. I'll tell you why I believe that. Men like to do that what is comfortable, and God always pushes us past our comfort. Men would say, give your tithe and an offering. God has said, give it all. None of it's yours. You're the body of Christ. What do we see happening? What had brought this fear on the people? Because God had told some of them to give it all. And they brought it all, and they sold what they had and dispersed it to those who had need. And buddy, when you start falling out, and buddy, you go past, you decide you're going to follow God, sometimes He will push us past where we're comfortable. He'll want us to do things that we say, that's kind of hard. But if you follow the crowd, if you follow the crowd, are you comfortable? We want you to be comfortable. If you're too cold, let us know. We'll turn the temperature up. If you're too hot, we'll turn it down. If the preaching gets too hot, are we going to turn it up or turn it down? Huh? I mean, that's the reason. See, they were comfortable. They were comfortable with the Roman soldiers ruling over them. They weren't really bothering them, you know. If you just let them have their way, you know. They didn't care nothing about the poor, the sick, the halt, the lame, the blind. They didn't care nothing about that crowd, the leper. Let's just be comfortable. But God, you know what God said, dude? He said, break every band. That's what cost you. To feed the hungry. And as my son-in-law brought out to me, the poor you will have with you always. He said, where are they? Where are they? Okay. If there's any what I would call poor in this church, they sure eating good. I'm about done here.